It's Thursday, October 16th. It's the Social Geeks Episode 9, Out on a Ledge. Don't forget to check out our Digo bookmark section for all the links from today's show notes.
Welcome, everybody, to Social Geeks Episode 9, which apparently we won't talk the entire episode because we're all busy watching the new real-time front feed. So, all right, who do we have so far? Caleb is on.
Hey, guys. Caleb here, founder of Tulu.com, on Twitter at twitter.com/Caleb Elston.
They made that easy. And then Jeff, you're there.
Yes, I'm here. Jeff is a geek, and I'm here ready to talk.
And we have a whole bunch of, we have a few people still in the room, and in and out. We have one guy still there, two, three, four. A few people in and out, and we started late because of the presidential debate. So now we're kicking it ourselves and waiting. And we have a few confirmations of people that are slacking, like the Ninja and Sarah and, of course, Corvita, and apparently Wayne Mario Kart Man Sutton himself. So Caleb didn't hear about that. Wayne is apparently the genius of Mario Kart. He's beaten my butt two or three times against each other online now.
Wow. Very nice.
He has like a souped up hot rod car, and I went to play him and he didn't tell me, and he embarrassed me profusely in front of my kids. So
On the Wii.
On the Wii across the internet. You haven't done it yet. It is absolutely hilarious. So let's try that. We'll trade IDs later, and then we'll play. Do you have Mario Kart?
Not yet, but some friends do, so I got to go play it over there. You playing it with inside of that little steering wheel console thing?
Yeah, you can play with it without. But I actually have steering wheels. Yes, we have a couple steering wheels.
Nice.
We're a Wii addicted family. The Beijing Olympics is probably the finest game they've made. Is the Beijing Olympics for
really
with Sonic? Oh my gosh, it's like 20 events, and you will literally go away sore. You'll wear yourself out.
I played the Wii Fit a little bit, and that was actually pretty fun. It was pretty good.
Yeah, the Wii Fit
on steroids.
This is the Wii Fit, because you actually do hurdles and diving and vault and rowing and 100-meter dashes and trampoline and javelin and triple jump. And there's so many events in there, it's ridiculous.
Nice.
With little people, you can use your Mii. It's hilarious. Your little Mii wears a little jogging suit, looks kind of freaky looking with his little suit on and wristband. So
nice. And the Xbox is getting those little Mii's in a couple months, so we'll see what they do with that.
And the new interface, also the new web stuff, as well as the new media connections, right?
Yeah, they just showed that at the Tokyo Game Show to a couple more press, and people seem to be liking it. So I'm excited to update my Xbox soon, that Netflix streaming, that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to play that. Well, all right, so Jeff, you dumped this in there, so you're stuck telling us the new beta, the real-time feed, friend feed. Go for it, man.
Basically, I think it was today, they launched a new feature on friend feed where you can sit here and waste your life away watching everyone post in real time. I actually just saw one of my Twitter posts come up there. That's kind of addicting, just sitting here watching people's friend feed post go, and you can, like, pause it if you want to go check something out a little bit more or whatever, but it's pretty addicting, I must say.
Well, I didn't even notice that. I didn't even notice that you can pause it up in the corner. It's very tiny and blue.
Yeah, and it also has a thing where you can open it up in a little mini window if you don't want it full screen.
Oh, geez. Work mode.
Oh. Yeah.
I just started looking at it, and I'm already entranced.
Okay, I got to tell you. No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I got to tell you. So I clicked the link, because I was going to talk about Arrington's post, which we will, but he actually has a 2008 debate group that's in a live stream in a widget on his blog. It's live. So go ahead. I'm sorry, but it's blowing me away the way they just changed frenzy in one day. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that this sort of technology, this sort of live updating, sort of using reverse Ajax, like actually pushing things to the client rather than requesting them asynchronously, the first time I sort of saw it on one of these sort of sites was with Dig, when they added that Dig Spy feature, when you could see when people were digging popular stories or digging upcoming stories. And that was pretty cool watching that. But again, you didn't necessarily know who was digging or what was going on. But here, being able to see the actual people, knowing that they're sort of interacting with the site live, sort of changes things a little bit. When you go to the Friend Feed homepage, traditionally you feel like you're behind a couple minutes or an hour or half hour or whatever, and so you comment and you don't necessarily know if that person will respond. But here, if you see someone do a live post and then you respond, you can pretty much expect that they're going to respond right back. So it definitely changes things. And as you just said, talking about what they're doing on TechCrunch, being able to do this for a particular room, being able to live blog something and have multiple people live blog at the same time, the people that cover it live and scribble it must be a little bit nervous with this. So pretty cool.
Well, something else interesting is that the group itself, you can actually take groups. So it's not just a room, but jumping back, we have a group in there called, that I watch, called the Social Geeks, that I made my own little group for. And I can take any of my list or my groups and pop it out into a mini window and just watch that individual group as a real time under the list.
And they're calling it a little beta feature, too. They're not even, they're sort of experimenting with it a la, well, just, oh, we don't really know what's, we just.
One of us was breaking up on the audio. Who was it? Was that Caleb or me?
I think it was Caleb. I think he disappeared.
Because I've got a good signal here, so I think it's Caleb disappearing on it. So I think, if he can hear us still, Caleb, now his phone signal's gone, so we'll wait for him to connect. He dropped his call. There he is. And it looked like cursing. He's in the chat room of the TalkShoe Live, and it says, dropped, and it's supposed to say call, but it looked like cursing coming back, so he'll be there. So real quick, the live feature is, to me, a way that so here's what I did before is I created a list of people in Friend Feed that I wanted to watch kind of separately, where I just wanted to filter out some people real quick when they added that feature. With this real-time one, I'm running it almost like a Twitter client in the corner, so I've got a living, breathing RSS feed, as a sense, in the corner of my window instead of sitting there waiting for it to auto-refresh. Arrington is right. He has changed they've changed the scope of the way that you will watch data come in from your friends. I could see it not replacing Twitter in a sense, but definitely watching the stream of information much quicker and catching things faster than they were before. There's Caleb again. Caleb, we were just joking hilariously about where you said dropped call, but it really looks like you said dropped and then did a bunch of cursing in the chat room. So,
yeah, I fumbled the phone, so it's back now.
No, but what I was saying, could you hear us still when you're off or no?
Yes, I did. I could hear you. It switched over to the chat room. So one of the benefits of doing a live call is we get that instant feedback.
So that's right now I'm actually sitting here running this live stream from us, which I'm awaiting to see the update. I think I just sent a Twitter update. I don't think I have myself in my Friend Feed room, but I have. You know what, I don't, so I wouldn't see my own come in there. But I'm watching everybody else that's been part of the show or on the show come through, and this is amazing to me to actually see that. I wish I could see the members in this window too. That'd be even better, but it's amazing to me now that it may replace the way I check for updates during the day, just running it in the corner.
Right. Well, then you think about, what about if they could go mobile with this, where I could sit there and just read updates all day whenever I'm, going somewhere or something like that. That'd be pretty sweet.
The pretty cool thing about having updates be pushed live is that you sort of naturally get drawn into it. You see something move, and your eyes get drawn to actually try and read it, and you just sort of get sucked into it for a much longer period of time than you might anticipate, because the page normally, and you would read the 20 items on the page, and then you would decide, okay, am I done? Do I want to move on to another page, or do I want to refresh? But automatically updating, you can always feel like, oh, well, just let me read one more item. Oh, crap, there's something else that just got posted. So I would expect that people will be spending so much more time on the site now because they're going to be drawn into reading these things continuously, that deciding to leave is going to be hard because you'll see that you're missing stuff. It really makes you feel guilty for leaving. And that's the Friend Feed's benefit, because there is so much stuff going on all the time. So there's all you could want to read and see what's going on.
Right, and I'm seeing a few people in the chat room, and Photographic brings up a point that says this could be good for customer service for companies watching for keywords or watching for feature themselves to actually see what's going on real time in the world. That's a good point.
And it's a little bit like the surmise Twitter search, where it would at least tell you that there are updates, but it wouldn't necessarily push them to you. This is sort of that taken a little bit step further. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully they'll share a little bit more detail on how they're doing it technologically, similar to how they want to propose a better way to pull RSS feeds. Maybe they'll suggest a better way to push updates to the client. We'll see. The friend feed guys tend to be pretty open with their technology.
And most definitely, Caleb, they all know you because everyone's saying hi to you. So apparently they all know you. So,
well. Oh, let's see. Oh, hello. We have some Tulu fans in the audience. That's great.
That's hilarious, man. Okay, sorry about that. I just looked at the chat room, and Jeff, you and I, we're off and done now. All right, so do you guys see this replacing the way you treat RSS feed?
I don't think so.
You're going to go with a negatory?
Yeah.
See, and it's a shame that Lewis isn't here because we know him and the friend-free relationship that he has, but he might be one of these guests that are listening in or not saying nothing, but Jeff, why not? Think about it. Instead of going to Google Reader, do you think that out of the corner of your eye, which you can do technically, right, keep up a little bit with the flow and just grab things as they come across, or you think that's too much information?
Oh, I mean, I think I'll definitely, like you said, I'll have it at work up there in the corner, but, I mean, I still have to do some work at work, so, I mean, I'm going to miss something. Having the RSS feed will still allow me to catch something, but this is definitely going to make it easier for me, to kind of monitor things as the day goes on or whatever.
Yeah, I think the other thing about this is that since it's pushing all of the updates, since the majority of the updates on FriendFeed are Twitter updates, there'll be a disproportionate number of status updates versus news items. So I don't necessarily think this is the best way to get your news. But just to get an overview of what's going on, I would keep this open. I might consider keeping this instead of a Twitterific, because I would prefer to have these live updates instead of getting those bulk updates of 10 items at a time, and also not necessarily feeling like I'm going to lose the items. Sometimes if I leave my computer on and I'm away from the desk for a while, Twitterific will decide to dump a bunch of items that it downloaded. So here I at least know that I could scroll back a good amount of time in history. So I think I'll definitely play with it and see what happens. But good on them for releasing so much stuff so quickly and something a little bit different than what we might have expected from FriendFeed just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, most definitely. And if I make a suggestion, everybody, as they hear it, if you haven't played with this yet or if you haven't made yourself, if you have everybody in your main home feed, let me start there. If you have everybody in your home feed, and you haven't created your own list on the side where you can sort people into, you're killing yourself there. You're trying to keep up with people that are more important to you business-wise or friend-wise or whatever. And then the ability to grab one or two of these and embed them and pop them out to have live feeds running, mainly if you have a big monitor or a couple else, to run those on the side would be absolutely beneficial to not only customer service, but just the people themselves in terms of being able to keep up with the stream of information that goes on each day. I think this is the way I'm going to run is maybe pop up two of these in the corner and let them just run and catch things as they need to, but you can always go back to the static standard information, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it pretty crazy that after just someone announcing something one day, it could totally change the way that you consume information for the majority of your time? I think that's just such a great thing that we still live in a time when someone can release a feature like this that is taking the data that they already had and are presenting it in a new way, and that can totally change the way that you perceive it. That's just sort of what's so exciting about what's going on now and why I sort of enjoy all these services, because every day it's possible that the way we deal with information could change so dramatically that the way that we think about information, the way we read information, the way we consume it, it would be different from the way we did it yesterday, the day before. It's just pretty cool. Whether or not we continue to use this service or another service, the fact that that can happen is so cool. You don't see that in many other industries.
No, you don't. And keep this in mind. Do you see someone like the Season McMahon taking Twirl and adding this capability in as a stream instead of just the polling updates they do now?
They should. I mean, I think that this idea of live updates makes a lot more sense. It's easier on the servers. They announce out to the clients when things are updated rather than continually being hit. That was something that Twitter really struggled with, was all these clients requesting updates so often when there weren't really things to announce. So it is both a better user experience for most people, and it's better technologically for these services and allowing them to scale, that it really is a true win-win. So I would expect we'll see lots more of these services in the future, lots of these push services, especially for mobile devices. It makes a lot of sense as well. When you're at such a low bandwidth device, only pushing up 1 or 2K of updates rather than a whole web page can make mobile experiences a lot better.
Well, I'm geek. I want to see what gets developed from it. I think it'll be embedded into the sides of blogs and services now. Imagine grabbing, you know what, I didn't even think about that. Think about this, guys. You guys are streaming. This is where they're going, I bet you. You're streaming everything right across the web. You have your own stream going. Why not take it and go live, create a list for yourself, and then embed your own list in the side of your blog and have a live working stream as your page?
That'd be awesome. I mean, right now I have the friend feed. You know, I have my friend feed, the feed as we know it now, on my site. If I was able to add this to it, I would definitely put it on my Jeff is a Geek website.
Well, you should be able to. You should be able to create a list, put yourself in the list, and then do the real-time pop-up, and then embed that, and then there you go. You've got a live, living stream inside of your page. All right, so now we
very cool.
Yeah, that's too cool. So, let's move over, because, Jeff, you're 2 for 2 today. You threw another one at us that expands Twitter now to have some video feeds, right? This is Mobile Talk.
Yes.
Have you seen it yet?
I actually haven't messed around with it, but what I take from, first off, the guy who actually created it, he's a guy here in Kansas City where I'm from.
Okay.
Basically, all you do is, it's basically the tag is, it's video for Twitter. You create a video, and then you tag it, and then what happens is they go ahead and push that out for you on your Twitter feed, so that people can, you know, click on it and then they can see your updates. So, I mean, it's almost like, you know, 12 seconds has the same thing, where if I post a video on 12 seconds, it takes and puts a little thing that says, hey, I created a video for 12 seconds.
Okay, well, what do they get out of it? I know that they're even talking about, you know, iTunes and Google Reader, but what do they get out of it? Is there marketing in it? Is there something else that's in it?
I have no idea.
Okay, perfect. That's perfect. That's what they have no about page. They do have a blog. And what was interesting is now you can play the videos on your iPod. Works perfectly with Twinkle. So if you're on Twinkle on your iPhone, you're technically, or even your iPod Touch, you could click the link, and then if you're connected, you know, of course you should be if you're using Twinkle, stream it right to your phone.
And it is, and we will mention, it is an alpha testing, so it's not like it's, you know, ready to go live to the world. But, yeah, I think the thing is it allows you to create a feed. So if I wanted to just do a bunch of videos every day, and then I could throw it in iTunes or Google Reader, and people, you know, could subscribe to my videos in iTunes and get my little video, you know, say, 1 minute, 2 minute videos in their, you know, iPod Touch or whatever, or iPhone.
Is there a limit to the amount of time? I'm like 12 seconds. Is there a limit to the amount of time that you can record?
From the videos I've seen, it doesn't look like it. I mean, you probably don't want to record a 10 minute video or anything, but I don't think there's any, like, you know, you have to do it in 12 seconds or anything like that.
Okay. Interesting.
It's definitely something new. I mean, it's kind of a new thing with all the video now being added to Twitter and stuff like that. So it's a new way to use Twitter, I guess.
Just what we need is another. And I know one thing they do is when you send your message and you can hashtag it, they only give you 90 characters, and that's probably so they can fit their URL string as well as the tag. So
right.
Instead of 140, you're going to get 90 characters to type in, as well as they'll push out the link for you. One thing I found interesting is, you know, they don't store your password, including your Twitter name. I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes, but I don't like that the page doesn't show SSL integration with it when you're entering your Twitter name and password. That's just me, you know, being personal about it, but that's one thing that always concerns me, is there no SSL feed to keep it in there. So let's see. What else did you have on there that was a good one? Gosh darn, are you updating this? Jeff, you're updating this real time, aren't you? You're putting more things in there. Every time I go in to find the link I wanted, you've tossed another one in there. Social mention, this is an easy and a quick one. It's become popular the past week or so, I would say, for sure, that social mention. Basically, it's just a massive search of some of the top sites for keywords, right? They say, and I'll read it to everybody, but the Google blog search, Twitter, Delicious, FriendFeed, Flickr, Dig, YouTube, etc., into a single stream with the icons, and then you can dump out a personalized RSS. But they give you ideas of topics like, of course, the presidential stuff, you know, Palin and Obama, and Joe Plumber is on there now as a hot conversation. John McCain. You guys see a use for this? I'm kind of shooting myself going, I don't know why you would want to use it up front when you can find most of this already on things like Frankie.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that it's, you know, anything like earth shattering or groundbreaking or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing with this. Yeah, I've been playing with it for a little bit, and I guess the thing that bothers me the most, and I can understand why it's the case, but so I was just searching for the term tech in bookmarks. So obviously that will have lots and lots of bookmarks. And it took about 8 or 10 seconds for it to load that data. So what that tells me is that they're actively searching for these RSS feeds and trying to combine them on the fly. So they're not really storing data on their system. They're actually probably pulling it in live. So that's a benefit on their end because it requires much less hardware and all of that. But the experience for waiting around can take a while. And if you're searching for something, I think these services really need to be amazingly fast for you to want to come back and use them, because you could just go to those services. And the people who do want to see these aggregated views already know what the services are. It's not as if it's a secret that Delicious and Ego and these other services are where bookmarks are, and the Twitter and some and Blurk and all these other services are where microblogging happens. So if you're going to do a service that's an aggregator, you got to bring something new to the table, and either if that's speed or clustering or something that makes it easier for me to find this information that's above and beyond going to the original service, I don't know how much I'm going to want to come back to these services. I'll continue to play with it a little bit and follow their blog and see what they're up to. But, I mean, they're everything. They're doing blogs, microblogs, bookmarks, comments, all. And to provide a unique experience for all of those at the same time is going to be tough. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm finding this interesting is that Arrington makes it, I got to go back for a second, makes a weird comment about when we talked about FriendFeed that I just ran across. And he's down inside his comment section. And he makes a very bizarre comment in the bottom that he says, everyone, you guys need to hear this. It's kind of funny, actually. He says, I see potential. Someone says, I see potential. And he says, right below it, yeah, Facebook, FriendFeed, whatever, all these startups are going to merge someday anyway. He's saying, well, all these companies we keep talking about every day, someday someone's going to buy them all, and this will be a major, one major company. Do you guys think that's the case? Well, we talk about meeting with all the big searches. Now we're talking about FriendFeed and their tools, Facebook and all its applications, and it's got little, import applets. Do you guys see all these merging together and being one giant social networking site and tool?
Yeah, it could. I mean, it could. I think I lost my train of thought watching this damn FriendFeed stream go through.
I'll jump in there for you. I think that maybe more what Mike was saying was that all of these services, the functionality that they offer will continue to blend, and they'll all sort of merge towards the middle of having a little bit of everything. And if that's really the case, then the service that will really win is the one that has the most users, because they're going to be the ones who can show the most people this new stuff. And I think what we saw with Facebook earlier this year when they added the status menu, the status updates as a key part of their Facebook app, and then later made it a key part of their redesign. When you log in, there's a huge box that says basically what I'm doing now. And there's no way you could deny that that was influenced by the popularity, rising popularity of Twitter. And I continue to see so many of my college-age friends using that status update. And the other thing that's really surprising is that I'll post from Twitter, and I have it cross-posting, and they'll comment on my status, much like you would on FriendFeed. My friends who have no idea what Twitter is or even what FriendFeed is, nonetheless, are leaving comments on my statuses. That sort of blows me that that's making it into Facebook, and that people are understanding the value of that and finding it interesting. If any of these services is really going to be around in 5, 6 years, 7 years, I really think Facebook at this point has that because they've got the huge user base. They figured out a way to take people from college out of college into the workplace, and we'll see if they continue people out of the workplace. But that's a lot of time. I mean, if they can keep people from 18 years old until 50 years old, they've got a really long runway. So I would say that Facebook is probably in the best position. And these services like Twitter and FriendFeed will continue to grow on their own and then may be bought up by some other company to try and rival what Facebook is doing. But what I'm hearing, it sounds like Facebook is the number one service that people are concerned about in terms of providing a social experience. And while they don't do everything right, they've got problems with their advertising policies, their privacy policies, the apps being annoying, do enough really well that people continue to come back day after day. So I would say they're probably in the strongest position of all of these services, even though we may not wish that was the case.
That's a good point, actually. That's actually a really good point about a good summary of the whole darn thing. I think looking at a lot of, you know, what I see is this, the big movement is, you know, data portability, and I've been a strong blogger of the opposite, saying data stability, which I'll explain later. It's a whole different topic. I'll keep this on here for 20 hours. But, you know, I see all these things trying to merge together and offer the same type of service over and over now, and there's going to be a winner. So soon enough, there's going to be a winner in each category, be it RSS, be it, you know, social network side, be it tools like microblogging, which is the next topic I want to jump to, but there's going to be a winner in each one, and then you're going to see a, you know, basically absorb all the capabilities of all the other players and make a superior product and shut them down. And that's what we see in a lot of them. You know, people say open market, yeah, but there's not enough VC money to go around and keep all these companies afloat.
Yeah. So. And the other thing is that there's a limited number of talented engineers and thoughtful people who can work on these projects. And seeing that a company like Facebook goes from 300 employees last year to 700 employees this year, trying to go to 1,400 employees in a year, doubling every year, that's a lot of people. And that's a lot of projects that they're working on. And a lot of, so even if a lot of these services don't make it, those people who have that seed idea will probably be working on that idea at some other place. So I think that's probably an okay thing. And the other bit about sort of the data portability is that that matters a lot when you're wanting to work with a lot of different services. I have a self-interest with Tulu that services be open and available because I want to have people bring their RSS feeds from their different readers and be able to publish back. But for Facebook, they really have no real reason to be open unless it makes sense for them. And that's understandable. We'd like them maybe to be different about it, but they don't really need to do that unless people really demand of them. And the other thing, too, to remember is that I think you're right. There's all these services sort of, it's an interesting space. All these services pop up, and then over time they converge. And if we think about the services we use every day, we use chat, we use email, we use video and photo to a certain extent, and then we use document creation. And those are core services, and Facebook seems to be sort of defining a new way of communication and a new way of sort of sharing and communication combined. And so these core services end up being those things that a lot of people use and the hundreds of millions of people. And so those are where you really need to anchor yourself, and people do anchor themselves.
they're getting there more and more. It's one of the big things. So do you think another big anchor that's coming, and I'll put it in the links. I've blogged twice now, four different companies, but microblogging, which, you know, we're living on. We're talking about Twitter. We're, you know, tweeting in the background, inviting people into here, and people are showing up. Do you think that Twitter in the enterprise, should say microblogging in the enterprise, is going to be a mainstay like blogs took over a few years ago? Do you think you're going to see microblogging now in the enterprise? We have a link on it that's out there now that was written. We'll give credit where credit is due. It was on Ross Dawson's blog, and he wrote it just a few days ago, October 8th, about this microblogging in the enterprise, an idea whose time has come. You guys see this is a big deal that's going to be popping up in the companies. And I've written two pieces saying the companies that are trying to do it are making strides. Some of them have some decent products. One offers a whole bunch of integration from a desktop to the web to a BlackBerry client to an iPhone client. They really went all out there. But are the companies ready to start dumping 140-character messages out for all their employees? Everybody jump at once. Jeff?
I think it would definitely be interesting. I think about, you know, where I work, I think it would be cool to have, you know, a Twitter-type thing, you know, just to get little messages or whatever throughout the day from coworkers or whatever. Maybe they're having an issue or something. Just throw something out there, and like we do now with all of our friends on Twitter, to be able to get a little message on our screen or on our cell phone or whatever that says, hey, I'm having this issue today with our systems or whatever. It would be, I could see it taking off, maybe being something that companies kind of start using.
What about the capabilities? Like, one of them offers a good primer in telling you need to hashtag everything so people can start finding it in terms of projects. But what about the loss of data on some of them too? Meaning, I'm only putting out these little 140-character blurbs. Is there value in those? Do I need to archive those? Do my employees need to search those? What am I gaining in terms of value out of it instead of just putting out a better way for them to communicate outside of their internal messengers?
And where I work now, we've experimented with a lot of these different services. And the other thing is that we've tried lots of other sorts of communication methods. I mean, I think every company wants to be able to communicate efficiently and to make sure that people know what's going on. I think the motive behind these services is spot on, that companies want to be able to communicate better, and there is certainly opportunity with internet services, and Twitter sort of shows that people who aren't even connected, they don't have a common goal, will communicate openly. Why can't a company do that? So I can certainly see the motivation there. I think the reason these will have a lot of trouble is more of a psychological reason, that you have to, A, really buy into that I'm going to check this constantly. Otherwise, you may post something and never get an answer, and so there's really no reason to use it anymore. The reason that on Twitter you can get lots of answers is if you have a good number of followers. And you start asking to have four or five people following you and ask for the best flight or the best restaurant in a certain city, your friends have been there, you probably won't get a response. But when you have lots of friends and lots of followers, then you will get a response. And so you need people following. And if your company only has 20 or 30 people out of a couple hundred using it, or a couple thousand, that's a small user base. But the other thing I would say that maybe more to the point of what these will have a tough time is that I would think there are going to be a lot of people who are nervous about announcing what they're doing all the time, because they'll be nervous that it won't seem like they're doing enough. Like,
why are you Twitter?
So you say in the beginning, I'm working on this, we're going to work at the end of the week. How long should you have that done? Your manager probably has an expectation of how long it takes you, but he sees this message that you're going to be working on it, and unless you finish it in a timely manner, he's going to be nervous, or he'll be angry at you or whatever. So unless you've got, like, really, really self-motivated workers, I don't know if a lot of people will want to really say exactly what they're working on all the time. Also, there's lots of people who can't announce what they're working on to the entire company because of security reasons or some other reason that they can't share that information. So the dynamic inside of a company is certainly very different than the public. And we'll have to see if these microblogging services roll over there. I mean, forcing people to write a blog inside of Microsoft or Google didn't work out very well. I don't know how well it will be to force them to do status updates.
A good one. Well, I'm interesting to see, and, the Mac mommy jumped on, said, you know, they no longer works at a company, but they couldn't get, you know, their coworkers to check email. Imagine, you know, instant messaging sets unreasonably high expectations, and it does. I live in the real world where not only have I written a book about the topic architecturally, like the tech side, but live in the world where we deploy these solutions at companies for instant messaging all the time, and you find that people now, you have to make sure you obtain and keep track of your presence and status inside of instant messaging, because people expect, just like the dial tone and then email, now they expect you to be there for instant messaging. And I know I forget a lot and walk away and don't think about it, but the idea is that now I'm sending you this, and now microblogging, if I send one out and I send you a message and it's tagged to an at to you, do I expect you to answer right away or not? And that's the point you're going to get to, is it just for information, or is it due to the fact that people want answers right away?
Yeah, and who is it aimed for? Is it for the employees, the ground workers who are doing the bulk of the work and getting information inside the company that they wouldn't normally have access to, so making the executives more open and transparent about what's happening? Or is it the opposite, which I think is the way that these companies are positioning their business model, which means this is how they'll be interpreted? Whether it's for the managers, like, is this a management reporting tool? Is this a way for companies to see how well and efficient their workers are? And I think that's the wrong approach. It should really be for employees to get information about their company. But the way these companies are set up their business models, especially Yammer, it seems like if you want to take control of it as the company, then you start paying a license. And the only people who really pay that are the managers and the upper management. So that would be my opinion.
Well, and another one was, they actually, one of them that I reviewed, I put the links out there in the group now, you actually have organizational charts. I put a screenshot of it. You can build organizational charts inside of it. And, you know, we still have the Mac mommy, she's chatting away. She says, you know, you can, all your IMs can be tracked. Yeah, we do it now. A lot of sites, you know, track all their IMs. They store them and journal them and they search them. But another thing to, you know, track and be responsible for, anything, email, phone, anything that you're at a company, you have to presume that it's being logged and tracked and audited and it's searchable, no matter if it's voice, video, chat, email, you know, a letter that you send to the interoffice postal, whatever it is, you just have to take for granted that that could be searched or tracked, and that's the way business life is nowadays. So,
yeah, tough.
Yeah. So let's hit a fun one real quick before we get done. We're doing good. It's only 39. Let's hit a fun one. We talked about it. The site is down. We talked about it before we started recording. I gave you guys a hint. And Mecca. So they built a social browser for the Mac client. And I saw it when it was, you know, being developed. It looked awesome. It amazed me. And the person developing it, who's iTod with 1D, iTod on Twitter, came out and said the site's down for a couple of days. So right now it's mechabrowser.com, and the site's down for a couple of days. He released the 0.1 alpha release, but if you can look at the cache stuff and see some of the screencasts, this is a really brilliant move on the Mac part to create almost a better than Flock, in my opinion, from the screencast, and integrating total open architecture of adding plugins and widgets and bringing all your social media to one place, and it looks incredibly cool. The bad news is, he won't come on the podcast until it goes live or until he gets it released a little more, and now his site is down, so we look like idiots. So, yeah, this is a great product. Sorry, no one can have it.
So, I think there's a word that it's in there. Products that are announced, not really going to happen. Think about
it's called Vaporware.
No, I'm just... Yeah, I mean, you said you had seen, or had talked to them and seen it, so I'm sure it's coming. I think they're, with what we've seen with Google Chrome coming out, sort of opening people's eyes again to the fact that, hey, there don't just have to be two major browsers and then Opera sort of dangling down there. There can be a lot more, and each of them can have sort of unique abilities. Firefox has had the idea of being open source and having all these plugins. Internet Explorer has been just a de facto installed on your machine, and lots of people use it, and that's why it's good. And now with Chrome, it's sort of being super fast, and we're really good with JavaScript. So the idea with this Mecca browser seems to be Mac, Flick, really. So I think that's really...
Caleb's been in a tunnel somewhere. Are you in a tunnel somewhere, Caleb?
I'm not in a tunnel, but I'm on a bad Verizon phone. Does it sound bad?
It sounds bad because we can't hear you at all, so it actually sounds fine because you just go away. You know, it's blotchy. Blotchy. Mac Bobby says you're blotchy in the chat room.
Oh. She says you're blotchy. Okay. I'm sorry.
Stand closer to the window.
I'm right at the window now, overlooking some water. So hopefully it'll be better. So I was just saying that, I think if they can get application developers and other people to build these plugins, that'll be really cool. Hopefully they're using WebKit to do the rendering, so it'll be nice and fast. But I'll definitely download it and play with it. I think people have been realizing now that switching between browsers probably isn't as difficult as we might have imagined. Not using so many of the built-in services like favorites and bookmarks and using those third-party services for that. What do you really have in your browser that prevents you from switching? For me, it's really just some saved passwords. And I already know what my passwords are, so re-entering them isn't such a hassle. So Switching to a new browser, not such a big deal anymore. So I'm open to trying as many browsers as people want to make.
Well, one thing I do use is... Super GenPath and ones like that that fit into the browser. I don't know if it'll work inside of the one they're writing, but you don't actually remember the passwords anymore. It's all dynamically built by the URLs, things like that. So
yeah,
you can have
I got to do that.
Yeah, secure cross, cross product, never the same password twice. I love the way that works. So
I put a link up in the chat room too with a link to a picture of the browser.
Correct. And for those that are looking at the link that he put up, the picture of it, which is really nice, you don't get the full effect, so you can watch the screencast of how he does these plugins that you just start adding pieces onto the sides and mixing it in. And it was really impressive to watch. So I'm hoping this really comes true to life and it doesn't appear to be any type of mock-up goofiness because it was doing live screencast work. It's, it's a lot of wasted time if they were just joking around. So we had one last one, actually. And one fun one and one last one. The big one was, where did it go? Oh, yeah, the Social Media Today article. Will blogging and social media be mainstream or remain an inner circle? I'd say we get away from blogging because anyone can blog and there's too much stuff going on out there. But the inner circle of social media really hits home for some of us. It's saying you really, unless you're in a small influential circle, even though it expands a little bit, will really anyone become that big or that known in social media outside of their own little circle? Will you make it to a Scoble, Lewis Gray, Caleb, will you guys make it to that type of realm? Do you guys see that now that you find yourself communicating more with those in the circle than you do outside?
I think it's changed a little bit. Caleb had mentioned earlier about how people on Facebook are kind of starting to use some of the features that Facebook's adding that people who've used Twitter and FriendFeed and stuff in the past, we've used those for quite a while now. And I think some people that are just using Facebook are starting to use those features and don't even know that maybe they're doing stuff, social media-wise and stuff. So maybe somebody like Facebook can be kind of a main, the mainstream can use some of the social media features, but not really know it, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think you hit it on there. I've been thinking about a lot of what does social media really mean, and what do we mean when we say there are social media elites or people who know more about that than other people. And my feeling is that social media is really about taking conversations and it used to happen only in private and making it available to the public at large or to a larger group of people who wouldn't have otherwise understood that. And so tools any tool that takes information that normally would be cooped up on your computer or cooped up on a private or in your email inbox or chat, and therefore making it more interesting to more people and making it more valuable to you, is something that has to do with social media. And Facebook is certainly leading the charge in making that available to lots of people, saying to people that giving away a lot of your personal information is actually good for you because it can help you reconnect with friends. Posting all the photos that you have of yourself and your friends is good. Posting videos of yourself is good. Telling us what you're doing is good. All of these things have to do with social media. And so saying that there's a social media elite just means there are people who are talking about this and trying to figure out what are social norms and what is acceptable and trying to keep an eye on some of these services when they might push the boundaries, a lot like what Beacon was doing. That without people like Louis Gray and a lot of these other bloggers saying that goes too far, Facebook might have continued on with that, and people might not have thought that was such a problem. So I think that's sort of the role that all these people will play. Just like any industry, there are the people who are, let other people know what's going on. That's sort of what I would see. I don't think it's a bad thing or anything like that. There's always going to be a smaller group of people who know a lot about a particular subject because they have time about it. Not everyone.
Uh-oh. Caleb's in the get next to the window. Can you get out on the ledge? Caleb, can you get out on the ledge of the hotel? Get away from the window and get out on the ledge. Caleb's gone again. So, okay, he let us know in the chat room most definitely. So, and that's hilarious. Sorry, that was his Verizon phone is really biting him there right altogether. One of the things that's interesting that I'm finding is, we've had some good feedback actually from the Mac Mommy, and I just peeked at her site. So everybody knows we have one really big participant here in the room besides some listeners out there, but the MacMommy.com. So you should listen to your motherboard as the tagline. That's a good one. Actually, that's actually quite funny. And you're on Twitter too. All right, the Mac Mommy on Twitter also. So I was going to give out one funny last one as soon as always. Let me unmute Caleb again because I think he's back. Caleb, you back again? Yeah, I see his voice. There he is. Yay! So I had one fun one that it totally just flipped on what the site to me. And we'll let it be the end. We're almost done. Have you guys seen usernamecheck.com? Usernamecheck.com. You've seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. It's really cool. But there's a catch. So everyone knows they've seen it. So usernamecheck.com. You put in any username, it'll go out to, I don't know how many services are on that, they say. And it'll try to see, how many?
I don't know, 20 or 30 at least. A ton.
Oh, there's more. There's way more.
That's like maybe 60 or 70, I think.
Holy, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Too many.
Yeah, well, think about it. So you put it out there, and you put your name or any name you want in the site, and it goes out and it scans through to see if your username has already been used at those sites by using the public profile URLs that your name would generate from those sites. And I thought, cool. So let me see what sites I may have forgotten about or I haven't registered on or things like that. And I found that, pretty much every one of mine was taken. I've got, the name out there. I don't even use the site or care. But all of a sudden it hit me is if I really wanted to follow and stalk somebody, what a great way to find out every site they're on.
Hmm. Yeah.
So right now I put in Jeff as a geek because, Jeff has nothing better to do right now. And, just from doing that, I can see there's sites that Jeff is on that I'm not on, like User Voice, and I don't use Vox. I know, Jeff, where else are you out there that I'm not on? You're not on Quippy, apparently, which is good, I guess. Whatever. Funny or Die, you're not on Funny or Die, but, you can actually then go out there and see every single site that this person might be on if they always use the same username. And to me, that's a little bit spooky in a way, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I can see the spooky part of that.
The subtle spookiness of it, but it's kind of cool. Like I said, it gives you everything, introduces you to some new sites you may not know about. But because of it, I forgot all about Cork, the wine site or whatever. But overall, it's a really cool service to know where you might, if you're new to social media, you're new for, yes, this is Squatters. Social monitors, Mac monitors at Squatters. But if you're new to social media or new to social networking and you want to get an established name and want to make sure you can use it all over the place, it's a really cool way to do it if you're trying to establish a brand, which, you know, Caleb uses his own name. Jeff is a Geek is a brand. The I Do Know Stuff I started years ago in a Lotus World, and it became a brand. So it's harder for me to change it, even though the social networker is gaining steam. But, you know what I mean? People know you by that name or as a brand, so that's what you use all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's also really good for companies who want to get their names in order. I know there's a lot of companies. I was just talking to a company this afternoon who was asking me about Twitter, and they were saying, you know, I kind of want to try it out, but someone has our sort of trademark name. And they'd emailed them a couple times, and hope they'll be able to actually get it.
That's a good point. That's actually a really good point.
Here you can go and register all the names you need at most of the big services. What would be really cool for them is, as a paid service, that you could, for like $100 or $50, they could actually register those names for these services with the email address and info that you wanted, and just do it for you automatically. I could see a bunch of money on that, because it's a hassle to go through and write all these names, because you just want to do it to preserve the name, just like you would the domain name. I have CalebElson.com, and I need to get some of the other ones, but for Tulu, I have Tulu.com, I have Tulu.net, Tulu.org, Tulu with misspellings. Like, I have everything because I want to preserve it. Even though I don't do anything with them, I want that name. And as your name becomes more and more important to you online and how people find information about you, preserving that and making sure it's safe is really important. The other thing, too, is that as these services have so much power with Google and the search engine, if you have your name on Twitter and FriendFeed and a couple of these other services, you'll be able to be on the front page for your own name on all these services. I find that when I search for my own name now, FriendFeed comes to the top of the list, Flickr comes to the top of the list, and some of these news stories about me that are years and years old, don't even make the top list anymore, because these services have so much more power with Google that if you had something bad said about you in the past or really want to just sort of start fresh, you got a new career or something, register for a bunch of services, use them a little bit, and you'll be on the homepage of Google. It's probably not the most, not everyone would agree with me that that's a good thing to do, but for people who want to make sure that they can sort of protect their identity a little bit more, you should do it. I mean, someone else is going to do it if you don't, so you might as well.
Well, cool. So we're all on the same page. I thought it was a cool service. I thought it was a really neat one. Our listeners, had to put the in front of the name because it was taken on some of the sites. Yeah, I can understand that also. And it's a cool little tool, but I also found that, there's some catches to it also. But it does have, I didn't count, but I think you're right. There's a good 60 or some more sites on here, right? This is pretty huge if you think about it. They're actually going to check a whole bunch of things, and some things you've never heard of before. So, and there's a lot of ones you've never used, but you'd hope, that you use. So, you guys have anything else? We're at the end of our hour. Do you guys have anything else that you want to toss out there that I missed for this one?
Are you going to be buying a new MacBook?
Yeah, no, I'm not buying a new MacBook. We stay away from the Apple completely entirely. No, I just bought a MacBook a short time ago. Is it worth the effort to go in and see if they'll replace it for me, already? Because it's so new. I don't know what their window of time is before they'll do it for you. Supposedly,
I think it's only...
How long?
I think it's only 2 weeks, 14 days. They'll switch it out.
Okay. Yeah, well, then I'm screwed. It's been like a few months. It's been like 3 months that I just got this. I love it. No, I'm not getting a new one. Happy with my new Touch and my new MacBook and love and life. Jeff, do you have a Mac?
I do not, no.
Are you getting one now?
No, I'll probably stay away from Macs. I like to be different.
Exactly. It's funny. Not having them to think different, that's a little bit ironic, I'd say.
Just went ahead and you ended that conversation, didn't you, Jeff? That's perfect right there. Nope, I'm not going to get one. I'm just going to stay away from it. Thanks for asking, though. I appreciate it.
It's
kind of interesting that... There was all this talk that on all these blogs and on FriendFeed and Twitter, Apple has to reduce the price. They have to compete with the Netflix to do this and that. The economy is tanking. Everyone's going to buy a $1,200 laptop. They're crazy. And they come out and they announce the prices. They're about the same. And I've already seen some reports that the Apple Store in London, in San Francisco, and a couple other major cities are already sold out of their entire stock of the new MacBooks and MacBook Pros. So I think that, people will pay for something if they find a lot of value in it. And while Apple tends to command a higher price than lots of other consumer electronics, it certainly applies to any service that if you provide enough value, people will pay for it. See all these services come out, all these web services that decide to come out. If you're providing enough value, you can make some money off of it, either by charging people or through advertising. Advertising is not a win-all solution, but if the value of that person there is strong enough to the advertiser, they'll pay a good amount of money for it. So as we continue to go into these tougher times, I think people should really remember that this is the time to make sure that what you're providing is the best it can be, and you'll probably do okay.
Actually, it's a really good point. We're at the end, guys. We're right at an hour. That is like magic right there. You slap in a little edit, a little music, we're right at an hour. Episode 9. Anything else, guys? I mean, where can we find you coming up? Where are you right now, Caleb? What conference are you sitting at?
Okay. Oh, at the conference? Any major announcements? Not really. No, it's more of an industry digital imaging conference, talking about digital printing and things like that. No big announcements. We'll see. Tomorrow's another day, so we'll see. The one thing I would say is for people who are enjoying the show, tell a friend to download it. We want to have more people. We want to have more emails. We want to hear from you what you want to hear. So definitely let us know. We want to make this better for everyone.
And if you didn't see the comments on the last episode, we actually been doing really well, but someone commented on the last episode, it's a new change, and they're happy to see a new twist on the social media and a podcast that actually talks about the knowledge, just the site that talks about the issues around them. So we're getting good feedback, so you're right. Keep it up there. Jeff, what about you? Oh, the conference, Jeff. Tell us about the one coming up in the Midwest.
Yeah, there's a conference coming up that's called Highlight Midwest, and it's kind of a regional thing for entrepreneurs and social media experts and new media people. It's going to be people from like Kansas City, Omaha, Des Moines. It's October 29th here in Kansas City. Basically, it's just going to be different presentations. The guy, Michael Bailey, the guy who did MOBA Talk, the video Twitter we were talking about earlier, actually is one of the people presenting, and there's just different stuff. There's somebody doing a presentation on starting to use the iPhone, and there's 25 different presentations right now that are going to be going on, and it's just kind of a cool place, you know, to go and hang out and meet the people around the area, and it's going to be, like I said, take place in Kansas City and downtown Kansas City, and October 29th, and should be a good time. There's a website if you want to go. It's highlightmidwest.org, so check that out. But I'll be there taking videos, doing live Twitter and everything, so I'll keep everyone up to date with all the cool presentations and everything.
Excellent. So we've got Tulu.com for Caleb. Anywhere, any other things you want to pimp out besides your Twitter address or anything else?
Nope, that's it. And just to know that the blog and the site have been a little bit quiet recently, but we're working on some big stuff. This should be coming out in a couple months, hopefully sooner, but it might take a little longer. But we're working hard on it, so don't lose the faith.
We haven't lost the faith. Jeff is a geek, of course. Jeff's a geek at Net. Jeff is a geek on every service. If you check, you know, check names, you'll find Jeff because he's all over the place. Use the check names. You're everywhere. Myself, everyone knows socialnetworker.com. I do notes on Twitter and idonotes.com. But let's see, my next trip booked, I will be Amsterdam in the middle of November for Admin 2008 and Developer 2008, which is a Lotus technical conference. I will be there presenting, I think, 13 sessions, 12 sessions, something like that, ridiculous, for that week of November 10th. Yes, geez, it's what I do, man. So I'll be there that week. Otherwise, everybody, Those hanging in the chat room can hang for a minute if they want, but in terms of recording, Social Geeks Episode 9 is officially done. Thanks, you guys.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Bye.